Boys Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to episode 15 of Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Zasso.
And I'm Eric.
And this week we'll be talking about the Save the Lars Homestead campaign. And first, let's go over some announcements, our contact information. You can email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are now on Twitter, so follow us at galaxyfanboy. And we are having a Facebook contest. If we get 100 fans by the premiere of Clone Wars Season 3, we will have a book giveaway. And now on to our main discussion, where we will be talking with Terry Cooper from the Save the Lars Homestead. All right, well, first we just want to welcome you to the show.
No problem. Nice to be here.
How did you get affiliated with this project?
Well, I don't know about affiliated, but what happened was, I went on the Tunisian tour back in 2003, which was organized by Mark Dermel from Belgium, who's a big Star Wars collector and expert out in Belgium. And, you know, as usual, you know, you go around and you look at all the sites, things like the Sidi Driss Hotel, the Mos Espa set and everything else, and you look around and you realize that, you know, the weather and the time is actually taking its toll on these sets. And as everyone else, you go home and you don't think anything more about it. But this time in 2010, when we went out in May, we kind of stopped, and as the sun was setting, we were looking at the igloo because, you know, it's full of holes and it's cracks, and it's you can see the daylight right through the thing. We were going, man, this thing has fallen apart in such a short time. So if only we could, if we had something, we could just repair this thing now. So then we just sort of sat down over some drinks and dinner later on and said, I wonder if we could do this. I'm sure there's enough Star Wars fans, and there's things like, you know, San Diego Comic Con coming up, and the other one was the Celebration 5, and we thought, I'm sure the Star Wars fans will get behind this, you know, to preserve the igloo.
What is your objective with the Save the Lars Homestead campaign?
Okay, basically, you know what the story is behind it, where we went out to Tunisia in 2003. We went out again back in May, just gone, and the objective is to try and raise $10,000, which will pay for four of us to go back out there to repair the dome completely and document it. So we're hoping to do that early next year.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad would you say the condition of the igloo is?
Okay, well, some of the guys went out in 2001. I didn't go on that trip, but that was just after they'd finished filming Attack of the Clones, and it was in perfect condition. I went in 2003, and the cracks had begun to show, and some of the paint was beginning to come off, but it was still in quite a nice shape. You know, it looked really nice when you approached it, and it was quite strong. We went out there, again, let's say in May, just gone, and out of 10, I would say we're getting to about 4 or 5. Some very big sections of the back of it have fallen right off, and the wood is getting very moist and soft because there's lots of moisture underneath the top layer of dry salt and sand. So yeah, it's about, I'd say, about 50% deteriorated.
So how much is it going to take to, like, in terms of cost, to really get this renovated and keep it renovated?
Okay, well, Tunisia itself is a very poor country. They don't know very much about Star Wars. Some of the people associated with the locations and the places like the hotel, they do, but they don't. You know, they're not very big as we are in the UK or in the States. So cost-wise, to get out there and to get the materials would be quite cheap. But what we want to do is actually do the best job possible. We're not going to pull anything off it. We're just trying to repair and replace anything that's gone, so we can get it back to the pristine condition it was back in 2000 and, 1999, you know, for Attack of the Clones. And I think it's doable. What we're also planning to do is any extra money that we get past our target of $10,000, and bear in mind we're halfway there now, what we're planning to do is have a word with the Tunisian authorities and the government, who are interested enough in the tourism aspect that they may be able to place someone there, pay some guy to be like a security guard or a caretaker, just to keep an eye on the site, make sure nobody is vandalizing it or, you know, wrecking it, you know, for the sake of everyone else. And if we can afford it, we've been talking about possibly building a full-size evaporator, because there are still 5 or 6 evaporators left in the Mos Espa set, but that's being guarded by people from the government. But this igloo is out there on its own in the middle of Nefta, with 100 miles of sand in each direction, and there's no one looking after it. So if possible, we're trying to build this evaporator to go next to the igloo, just to make it feel even more like Tatooine.
So what's the plan when you get to Tunisia?
How long are you going to be staying there?
Okay.
Like, how long is it going to take?
Yeah. We're because of cost and time to stay out there, and obviously, the guys going is going to be myself from the UK, Mark Cox from the UK, and Mark from Belgium, and Robert Cunningham from the States. Obviously, it's costly to stay out there longer, and we've got jobs and everything else to do. So we're going to try and do it for a short time. It'll be nothing more than 4 or 5 days tops. But we begin to plan it out, and the way you see it is the first day will be to clean the whole set, to get there with some tools and some shovels, etc., and clean everything, the ground away from it as much as possible on the inside, get all the mud and everything else that's in there out of it, any broken pieces. Make a note of where they came from, move them away from the site, make sure everything's brushed and clean and prepared. That will probably take a day, maybe half a day. After that, we will be getting some materials. We'll probably be getting these local, because it's obviously expensive to buy cement and plaster and sand and this kind of thing, and, you know, ship it over. So we're gonna go and find some builders, etc., in the area who can get us the materials. We'll probably take tools with us. And then we get to work. The first thing is to make sure all the wire understructure is intact in one piece. There's no holes, no pieces that are falling off. And once that's ready, we can begin to plaster the thick cement that goes over the top of it and blend that into the rest of the dome, so you won't even notice it. There's a lot of woodwork in there as well. There's a wooden frame, so we've got to make sure that we've got some pieces of wood and some fixings like screws, etc., and bolts, to make sure that that's sturdy and quite strong. It's not going to crumble over time. And we're hoping that will take us about a week. There's going to be 4 of us on the job. We'll be making documents, updating things on the website as it goes by. So hopefully, you know, we'll do a really good job in just under a week, hopefully. Like I said, we're trying to paint it as well. And the final thing is we want to put a plaque, some kind of plaque, maybe a laser-cut metal plaque, inside the dome that's going to be fixed to the understructure, or maybe even to a metal rod that's going to be driven into the ground so it doesn't move or doesn't get stolen easily. And we're having a message on there in 3 languages. In Arabic, because that's the main language out there, French, which is their second language, and English, explaining to whoever comes by that this is an iconic movie set from the Star Wars trilogy, and we're going to be asking them to try and please respect the set, you know, look after it as much as possible. And we're also going to put links there to a website that names everybody who's donated some money, whether it's $2 or $250. We've even had one guy send like $600. Wow. Already. We've had people from Japan sending us money. Lots of people from the 501st, the UK Garrison, and the Legions out in the States. And the money is just coming in thick and fast. We're nearly halfway there. We've got just under $5,000 at the moment. So yeah, fingers crossed, yeah. Isn't it?
So, how can people donate money?
Okay, well, the easiest thing is PayPal. We've set up links on Mark Dermal's site. The website, he's got a number of different links, but the easiest one to remember is www.savelars.com. That's SAVELARS. Savelars.com. And as soon as you get to that page, you'll see a picture saying Save the Lars Homestead. And what Mark's done is had little images down the side with the donation amount. So you click on that, and it'll you can donate anything from $2 all the way up to sort of $250 or a custom amount. And what will happen, your name gets listed on the site. We're not listing them in order of who donated how much or saying how much they did it. We're just grateful for anybody to donate anything. You know, every single dollar is going to be used. It's not going to be a holiday for us. It's going to be going out there and working hard for a week under the baking Tunisia sun. And believe me, I've been out there twice. And in midday, you know, you just want to sit inside the igloo because it's that hot. But we're going to do as much as we can. And, you know, it's going really well. It's going really positively.
You're speaking about you're worried about people vandalizing. Is there... Has people vandalized it, like, when you went out there? Is there any, like, visible signs of vandalism?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's not so much vandalism as you'd imagine it. It's not, I mean, in my city, and I guess in your, some of the cities where you are, you know, people will just get bored and vandalize things. But out in Tunisia, this is such a remote site that no one goes out there just to break things for the sake of it. But what they do out in that area, because it's such a flat, salty desert. There's a lot of tourists go out there to ride motorbikes or to sometimes do the windsurfing kind of thing, and some people on quad bikes. And if you look at the Google Maps location for it, it's easy to find, but you'll see all the tire tracks where people drive around. And I think some people actually light fires inside the igloo, which is not great because it's got a wooden internal structure. And they sit on it, and, you know, they climb all over it. And some of the other parts of the homestead, if you remember, next to the igloo, there's this flat hydroponics dome, they call it, the roof. That's pretty much all gone. There's a few pieces of wood left that... Originally, it was a wooden circle with a roof over the top and some plastic pipes for the holes and the lights all the way around, and they're all gone. And that's not because people have decided to break it, or I don't even think tourists go out there to take pieces home. I'm sure some people have. You know, it's unavoidable. But if we were to rebuild that part of the igloo, I think it would go straight away, because there are local guys who are very poor, you know, travelers, and they see a load of pieces of flat board and flat wood. They'll think, I can use this. I can use this in my house, you know. And they just make the use of everything. You know, they're just trying to survive, I guess. But this is the other thing. If we can raise enough money to talk to the government about putting a person there to look after the set, you know, even if it's a few hours a day, that will help a great deal. And of course, you know, we may go back in a year's time just to keep touching the place up and make it look good as new.
It's definitely one of the most iconic set pieces in film history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I've got to say to you guys is, I don't know if you've ever been out there at all. When we went in 2010 recently, there was five guys from the States went out and three from the UK, etc. And unless you've actually stood there at about 6 p.m., and watch the sun go down, you can actually see the sun going down in exactly the same spot where Mark Hamill's standing on that crater. It's an absolutely amazing thing. Everyone just fell silent because it's like, how many times have I seen this, you know, on a DVD or in the cinema or whatever? And you think, wow, I'm actually here. And it's something you'll remember for the rest of your life. And we thought that if someone was to travel, you know, I know you guys in the States, it's a long way to get all the way to Tunisia. You've got to go via the UK or via Europe and then all the way down to Africa. It's a long way. And if you were to get there to just see the remainders of a crater and a slight dip in the ground where this igloo used to be, it wouldn't be the same, you know. But when you're in a Jeep and you're traveling across the salt flats as fast as the guy can drive and you see this igloo in the background, the first thing everyone just shouts is like, that's awesome. oh my god, it's still there, and it just really just blows you away. I can't recommend it enough.
So this is not the same igloo as the one in A New Hope. This is the one from Attack of the Clones, right?
Attack of Clones, yeah, Attack of the Clones. From what we've been able to piece together, the igloo in A New Hope, we think it was mainly a fiberglass dome, but the chances are that it may have been made exactly the same way, which is a wooden frame that was made in the UK, and it was obviously labeled and flat-packed, and they shipped it out there, assembled it, and then spread all the cement and the plaster and the paint over the top to make it look weathered and make it look like it's been there forever. It's the Attack of the Clones dome, but it's still there. So we're hoping to not to replace it or dig it up or anything, just to repair it as best we can. And what we have said that if there are any parts of that dome, and I know there's some debris around it that's fallen off that we can't just glue back on, or we can't plaster back on, we'll take those, and for some of the larger donations, we will break it up and send little pieces off. They're going to be small. They're going to be pieces about the size of, you know, a sugar cube or an ice cube or something. But, you know, you'll get your piece of that if you've... I think Mark Dermal was talking about anybody who's donated over sort of $50 or something like that, because otherwise there'll be nothing left of it. We give it to everybody who donated, because we've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people have been donating money. But for everybody who donates, we're going to try and get a link on a website for them that will be placed inside the igloo, and also... everyone's going to get some sand from that area, you know, maybe the crater or maybe outside the front door of the igloo. We'll make sure that they get up a little piece of Tunisia, a little piece of history.
I mean, it's something that definitely that collectors and non-collectors will, you know, they'll rush to, because either they're huge fans and they want the thing to stay up, or they're diehard collectors and like, I got to have a piece of the Lars homestead.
Sure, exactly. And you do feel torn. I was the same. I'm not a massive collector of anything, really, but I am in the 501st Garrison, so you know, I've got my costumes and that kind of thing. I've got a few figures for, you know, sentimental value. So I'm not a massive autograph hunter or anything like that. But you still think, on the one hand, when am I going to come back out here again? And shall I take a little piece? But then you're thinking, oh, well, you know, that would be wrong. But then you start thinking, well, other people have probably done it, and. In all honesty, when we were out there in the first time, the hydroponics dome section next to the igloo, that was falling apart, and so it was so badly there was just pieces of emaciated rubber hanging off it, and the roof had gone, most of the pipes are gone, and all they are just sort of 5 or 6 inch diameter pipes that a plumber would use for doing lavatories and that kind of thing. And you know, we just said, well, I'll take one of these because it's just going to get kicked around and stamped on. And it was something that had fallen off and was never going to get fixed. But you know, we did have a policy of trying not to take, you know, definitely don't break anything. Definitely don't purposely snap anything off. But you know, if there's something lying around that's not connected, then I guess it's fair game. But you know, with this igloo, it's going to be quite a sturdy structure, quite a solid thing. So we're hoping that. You know, when we've restored it, it's going to look as good, and people aren't going to say, well, I'm going to chip a piece off this, because it's a labor of love at the end of the day. Anyone who travels that far, you know, to the middle of North Africa in a desert just to see this thing, I'm sure that they'll appreciate how much work, how much love's gone into this project from people around the world.
Yeah. How often do you take tourist groups down there, or how often do they go?
Well, in Tunisia, there's... tourism is one of their main forms of, you know, it keeps the economy afloat. So there are quite a few desert tour companies who drive jeeps. So you can hire a tour company that will put you in a quite a nice, like a Range Rover Jeep, or sort of a 5 or 6 seater Jeep, and you go around and they do know the sites now. So you know, you go to the mountains, you go to the Mos Espa set. Right across the road, literally from the Lars igloo, is a place called La Grande Dune, which is that's what it's called in French, but it's still the Grand Dune, and that's where 3PO was standing on his own as he saw the sandcrawler come over. And every time you go there, even though it's changed so much because it's very soft sand and it's been blowing, you know, and moving since the 70s, When you go there, you can kind of work out where he was, and the locals will run straight up to you. You'll get mobbed by about 20 or 30 locals, some children, and they've all got pieces of fiberglass. Most of them claim that it comes from the skeleton, the very big dinosaur skeleton that was a great dragon, yeah? Well, to be honest, we still found that there are some pieces there. There are many, many tourists who have been out there, and they do have genuine pieces. I bought a piece in 2003, which was literally the size of your index finger. It's a very small piece, but I could tell that it was fiberglass on one side. It was curved and sculpted on the outside, and it had a coat of white paint with another coat of yellow at the top. And what we found out was that skeleton came from a completely different movie. It came from a Disney movie called One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing. And it was a comedy movie about a skeleton from an expensive dinosaur skeleton from a museum that was stolen. And you can see it on YouTube. There's a big scene where they're driving through London with this huge truck with this dinosaur skeleton on the back, and it's dark gray. So all they did was they took the legs off it and the rib cage off it, painted it yellow and stuck it in the desert and left it there. And it got buried for many years. So it's surprising. People do go out there, and you can get a tour out there, and it's reasonably cheap to find those sets. I think if you talk to the tour guides and the drivers, they will know about Star Wars. They'll know about the sites, but not they won't be able to tell you anything about the movies because most of them haven't seen it and they really don't care for it.
So ever since you've started this campaign, have you gotten any Lucasfilm support, or have they acknowledged you guys at all?
Right, yeah, well, that's an important thing. As you know, we really sort of decided to go for this thing just after we got back from Tunisia, sort of June time. And the first thing we did was one of the American guys who came out with us was Chris Wyman, who works for TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. And he contacted Steve Sansweet at Lucasfilm to explain what we were planning to do. Steve Sansweet wrote us a great email back, and he said that you know, it's great that you guys are doing this, and you know, unfortunately Lucasfilm can't get directly involved, which means we're not going to get a check from Mr. Lucas anytime, at least we don't think we are, because as you can imagine, you know, there are so many fan organizations around the world, and you know, much more important ones than us, like the 501st Garrison. You know, the Legion does so much work for charity and children's charities and that, and you know, and they could use the money as well. So if George Lucas were to write us a check, you know, as soon as the word got out, he'd be just flooded with people saying, hey, can I have some money for my fan project? And we can understand that that might not happen, may never happen. But Steve Sansweet was very interested, was very keen about it, and he met up with everybody at Celebration 5. I designed some business cards that kind of look like the Kenner figure packs, and it says Save the Lars Homestead on there. We printed 5,000 of those up, and four guys went out there to Celebration 5 to hand them out. Steve Sansweet took a handful off us, literally about 200 cards, and said, leave these to me, I'll hand these out to important people. So he's been really good about it. One of the other guys, Brett Coulthard from Florida, spoke to Mark Hamill at length about it. Mark Hamill was really excited about it, really enthusiastic. So you never know. You know, Mark Hamill loves it, Steve Sansweet likes it, and I'm sure it's got back to George Lucas at some point. We understand that if he can't, you know, chip in a few dollars, but at the end of the day, it's nice to have him to know about it, you know. So that'd be, it's support of a kind. Just to know that Mark Hamill's egging us on and, you know, encouraging us to do this is a good morale boost, you know.
Maybe if you get enough money, you can hire Harrison Ford to help you. If you're the carpenter.
Well, you know, if his next indie movie does as strangely, you know, it wasn't well received by some people, he may have to go back to carpentry. So, you know, he's welcome to come and join us if we can, if we can bear the heat and the sun. That would be great.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. It was great talking to you, Terry.
No problem. Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, I think that's it. You got anything else, Art?
So how can our listeners contact you, Terry?
Yeah, okay.
About this?
The best thing to do is if you want to find, the easiest way to find us is via Facebook. All you have to do is type in Save the Lars Homestead, and that's what the name of the group is, Save the Lars Homestead. And you can just join the group and say hi. All the news, all of us who are involved are updating it and mentioning, you know, the running total of the money is on there as well. And also there's links there to the actual donation site. But the donation site, as I said, was www.savelars.com. That's the easiest way. And just click. I mean, how often do you serve the net and think, well, I'm just going to get something on eBay now. I'll just pick up a book that I'm after or something. Just give us $2. You know, click. That's it. $2. You've helped to you know, keep a piece of history alive. And I think it's really worth doing. So, you know, this for to be so closely involved with Star Wars in that way or in this way, no matter how big or how small, it's something you remember for the rest of your life. You can say, I was there, you know, even in spirit, and I helped these guys make this igloo. So, you know, hopefully anybody who's donated will go out there and see them, the proof that we've actually worked hard on it.
If 500 people give $2, then that's $1,000 right there. So
absolutely. The thing to remember is that you know, we're looking for $10,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but basically that will get so much work done and so much progress, and to keep this thing in one piece. But there are more than 10,000 people who went to Celebration 5, and if all of them gave $1, you know, we'd get there easily. It'd be no problem at all. So, you know, people may get bored of us mentioning it on the Facebook site and on podcasts. So this is why I'm grateful for the guys like you, the guys on the Forcecast and GalacticBinder.com, who I did the previous podcast. And that's how I heard about you guys at the Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy. So we know we're trying to get out there as much as possible and tell people, you know, it may we don't want anyone to get annoyed that we're constantly going on about this, but we've got to keep the momentum going. We've got to keep the donations coming in, and hopefully anyone who cares enough to give us a couple of bucks, you know, they'll realize that it's going to be a really good thing, and it's a great thing to be part of.
Yeah, it really is a good thing, and we will definitely continue to promote this until its end. Until it's all said and done.
Good, I appreciate that, because it's something that, you know, even from now you can keep tabs on things. We'll be mentioning what's happening, and you'll see the running total on the Facebook page of how much money's coming in. And as I say, while we're repairing it, we're going to be documenting every step of the way. So there'll be a load of photos coming. They will all be publicly hosted on PhotoBucket or something like that. So everyone gets to see what was made. We'll have some video. We'll have some interviews. And hopefully the plan is, if you look at the photos on the Facebook site, I did two mock-ups, in fact. One of the igloo in absolute ruins, which looks really depressing. And the other one of how it is in pristine condition. I've used Photoshop, and I've cleaned it up and added, tried to make it look as it did in 1977. And that's what we're going for. So, fingers crossed, you know, hopefully we'll get this done.
All right, Terry, well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. Cheers, Eric. Cheers, Ryan.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye.
See ya, Terry.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It's intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or their respective trademark or copyright holders.